Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to This is the Jet Life with Dan Burnham, your guide to the New York Jets sports and much more. And now, your host, Dan Burnham.
What is up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of This is the Jet Life. It's been a while since I recorded one. But we are now back in football mode as we just watched the combine. We're a week away from the free agency period coming. So finally, football is kind of, at least the offseason journey has begun. And there's a lot of stuff that the Jets are trying to do to get over the hurdle into the playoffs next year. We're coming off a 7-win season where we had totally banged up offense, specifically offensive line, no quarterback and Aaron Rodgers going down. And the Jets have an opportunity to rebound from that. Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh have both been given the green light to bring it back for another year. That said, both their butts are hot. We don't know how long they're going to last if the Jets don't play well. Can they make it through the season if they do poorly? I don't think there's an exact mandate for the team to make the playoffs, but I think it's about as close to one as there could be without saying it aloud. The Jets need to find a way to be better this year, and they're close, right? They have the quarterback. They have some players. The defense is fantastic. They've got some offensive playmakers. There's only a few little changes and stuff that the Jets are going to have to do. Build that offensive line, find a couple role players here and there, maybe hit on a few guys in the draft, and they can get over that hurdle that's been eluding them for so long. But this year it's going to be tough. Minimal cap space, missing a couple draft picks. They're going to have to be really efficient. They're going to have to make some really smart decisions. They're going to have to hit on a lot of them. And that's what you expect from your general manager. You expect your coaches to get the players up to where they need to be. To do that within your system and your scheme. I have hopes the Jets can do it. I have some ideas and ways that I think they can. And that's what this episode is all about. It starts with free agency. We have the ability to spend our money on some new guys, fill in as many holes as we possibly can with as many good players as we can, fill in some of those depth roles as well. And then we look towards the draft to fill the bulk of the remaining stuff in with that, and then a couple of little free agent flyers as the year goes on and whatnot. But it starts with free agency to get that new core group of players in here. This podcast is going to talk about the news and updates that have happened since my last podcast episode. Just a quick kind of breakdown of the state of the franchise in terms of the numbers and dollars. Then I'm going to rank the positions of need within the Jets as I see them. We're going to do a what's on tap. And the big bulk of this episode is going to be breaking down each of those positions of need in order one at a time, talking about what players are leaving that group. What players do we still have under contract in that group? And what's my wish list you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys that I would want the Jets to potentially pursue. Realistic ones. I'm not looking at wide receiver and saying we should go get Calvin Ridley and we should go get T. Higgins and Mike Evans, right? T and Mike already signed, but we're not paying $30 million for a receiver right now, or $25 million, whatever those guys would command. The Jets have to be smarter with it. We don't have the money to make ridiculous decisions like that. We've kicked the can down the road a lot with a lot of void years already, but there's a lot to get to. I'm looking forward to this podcast. It's one of my favorites. I think the one that I enjoy more than this one and the hypothetical players that we could potentially get, the one I like more is the recap of the players that we do get. This episode will be somewhat meaningless 3 weeks from now when nothing that I've predicted has happened probably, right? But the review of the episode is the one that'll stick for 5, 6, 7 months because the contracts, the holes they're filling, the players and everything that we've added will remain throughout the entire summer. It's one of my favorite episodes to go back to reference and stuff. So that's going to be the next podcast after this one, the free agency review, probably 2-3 weeks after the beginning of the free agency period, sometime end of March, beginning of April is when that podcast will come out. Then I'm going to do a draft preview before the draft at the end of April, and then I will do a draft review about a week after that. So that's what's on the horizon for This Is the Jet Life Offseason Edition. Aside from that, I need to remind you to rate, review, subscribe to this podcast anywhere podcasts are found. It's part of the Fans First Sports Network. You can follow me on Twitter at Jets_Dan. All the ratings, reviews, everything like that, engagement, it always goes a long way. And I appreciate all of it. So without further ado, let's get into this because there is a lot to talk about. Let's start with news and notes around the Jets. Not surprisingly, the Jets have given Zach Wilson authority to go out and try to command his own trade, at least facilitate something with other teams, to talk about his availability, to figure out if it's a good fit, see if they'd be willing to make an offer for him. It's a difficult spot for a player to negotiate their own deal because, of course, he says, hey, do you want me? They say, sure. And the Jets say, now that we know you want him, we're going to ask for the world. But at the end of the day, the Jets are trying to move on from Zach Wilson. The experiment failed, unfortunately, yet again, another young quarterback the Jets weren't able to turn into a superstar. But Zach Wilson has some guaranteed money still, somewhere between $8 and $11 million the Jets are on the hook for this year. And if they trade him to another team, that team is then going to be potentially on the hook for that contract. So who really wants to give up a draft pick to trade for Zach Wilson to then have the right to pay him $8 to $11 million this year? That's not a very enticing sort of option. Right, Zach Wilson has struggled a ton. Maybe he's got some upside, but he's got 1 year left on his contract. If you pick up the player option, maybe two. But Zach Wilson probably will need to split that contract between the team that he goes to and the Jets. I would assume it would be something like we'd get between a 4th and 6th round pick. And the Jets would probably eat somewhere between like $3 to $7 million of that contract. And they're going to be pleased to get, you know, $4 million in savings or $3 million in savings. They're not going to save the whole thing. They're not going to get a second-round draft pick for him. We got to be realistic. The goal is to move him to a place where he can play, progress, develop, potentially become a good player one day. I'm still rooting for Zach Wilson, just like I'm still rooting for Sam Darnold. I'll be a fan of Zach Wilson's for as long as he's in the league, and we'll see what happens with him. Worst-case scenario, I guess he could still potentially be under contract for the Jets, but it's not to be expected at this time. Other news, Mecole Hardman's an idiot. I think we already knew that. But we find out that he was potentially tampering, trying to find a way to get Brett Veach and the Kansas City Chiefs to come after him and get him signed to that team while he was still under contract with the Jets. So when he did that article and said that aloud, a lot of fans were just like, I don't think you're allowed to do that. And then they came after him, and he's since rebutted it. We've also heard word that potentially he was taking the Jets scheme and playbook and giving it to the Eagles, because he played for Georgia, and a ton of Eagles defensive players and players on their team went to Georgia, so he's got a lot of friends in that organization. Potentially he leaked the Jets' game plan to the Eagles, a team that was undefeated when we played them, and we still beat them. I think it's definitely possible that happened, but moral of the story is Mecole Hardman's an idiot, and not on our team anymore. Laken Tomlinson, the Jets' left guard for the last couple years, was released. Saved the Jets about $8 million, and when you're looking at $8 million, it's a big deal for the Jets. That money's going to be very, very important in this free agency. But Laken Tomlinson was a left guard that played consistently for the Jets. He's played basically every single snap for the Jets since coming here. And no, it wasn't all great. And he had some issues and some blunders and boneheaded plays and everything. But at least he was out there. And when you look at our offensive line, one of the biggest issues is, like, nobody's played. We're missing starter after starter on the offensive line, and he was kind of the one mainstay. We don't have him anymore. We have $8 million instead. We now have a massive hole at left guard that we're going to have to fill with at least the $8 million, maybe some more. We also released CJ Uzomah, saving $5.3 million. This one was guaranteed to happen. CJ Uzomah has been pretty useless for the Jets, honestly. I think he's a great person, a great teammate. The leadership that he brought, the positivity and everything in the locker room was all awesome. But every time he had an opportunity to play with the Jets, I mean, he kind of blew it. He dropped touchdown passes. He didn't come up in big moments. Had some bad penalties, bad plays and things. And it's just time to move on from a guy that was getting way overpaid from us. Still get some dead money on the cap. And we're getting that $5.3 million back from cutting him. So positive news there. And then other news, the salary cap has increased to $255 million, a whopping $30 million over the salary cap of last year. The NFL is doing fantastic, continues to become more and more powerful, more and more loved by Americans and around the world as well. It is an absolute beast of an enterprise. So $30 million up for every team in their cap space this year. Everybody appreciates it. We are going to see some big contracts handed out this year. That's for sure. Now, talking about the state of the franchise and what the Jets are looking at as they stare down the barrel this free agency upcoming. They're currently sitting at about $27 million in available cap space. The team has $34 million in dead cap for 2024. So a lot of void years, a lot of bad contracts we've had to move away from. We're seeing it move away from Tomlinson right now, CJ Uzomah, on top of so many others. But the Jets have made some mistakes trying to go out and sign. It's another testament and example that you can't just build your team through free agency. You hand out a lot of money to players. They don't pan out. You move on from them. Eat that dead money. Yeah, I wish we had the $34 million that's dead right now, but we got to move on with the $27 million that we do have available. And then lastly, regarding the draft, it looks like the Jets are potentially going to get up to 3 late-round compensatory picks. The formula basically says if you lose more players in free agency than you gain the year before, then the league will compensate you with these picks, depending on the level of the contract signed by those players that leave your team. For us, it was guys like Nate Herbig, Nathan Shepard, Sheldon Rankins. We're talking a ways back now, right? Last offseason. And because of those players that we lost, we may potentially end up getting a few sixth-round picks, maybe seventh-round picks. It'll be added in. It'll be useful. Joe Douglas likes to combine those sometimes to move up a few spots in the sixth or fifth round, maybe grab another player. But that's just another little nugget for the Jets as we look into this offseason. So the most important thing to me in this podcast is talking about what could the Jets do in this free agency. This is the free agency primer episode, and we got to talk about the options, the decisions, the positions of need, and how the Jets can possibly go about addressing those positions. So I have ranked the Jets' most important positions of need, and I'm going to go over what I think they are. We're going to take a quick break doing what's on tap after that, and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk about each one of those positions in order in detail and say who we think could be an option for the Jets, who do we have under contract, who are we losing, and just really break down every single position group, every single player leaving and potentially coming to this team, and then get out of here. It's going to be a lot of information. It's going to be a lot of names. But we got to do it because they are all a part of this team. I don't like to focus on the same 15, 20 guys from a roster and a team and just be like, oh, it's all about Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson. It is. But at a certain point, you've got those guys like Jason Brownlee and Irvin Charles that do touch the field. And whether or not they're a value add or a negative to your team, whether or not they've developed enough or they have the ability to develop or play within your system to make you better and elite, that's what gets you over the hump. That's really important stuff in this league. The depth, the role players, the growth. So I like to evaluate everybody, leave no stone unturned. That's what we're going to do. Let's start with our positions of need looking into free agency. The first opportunity to address all of these, free agency. After that, the draft. From there, more little spot fills in free agency after that. But when we look at it, by far, the number one need for the New York Jets at this point in time is offensive tackle. The offensive line is hugely important. It was a turnstile last year, both with players and their ability to block. We had quarterbacks going down, getting injured. We rotated through so many different combinations. It was just a nightmare and a mess, and you can't be successful that way. So offensive tackle, two bookend anchors, is going to be super important for the Jets to shore up this offensive line and give Aaron Rodgers and any other quarterback of the future some time to actually play the position. Behind offensive tackle, the number two most important need, interior offensive line. We're talking guard, we're talking center. And the reason I bunch them together is because Elijah Vera Tucker and Joe Tippmann are very, very flexible. At this point in time, Elijah Vera Tucker could be playing guard for us. He could be playing tackle. Tippmann could be playing center. He could be playing guard. Schweitzer, even for that matter, could be playing center or guard. So with the flexibility, we just need some interior guys. Got to get them. That's the number two most important need. There's a theme here. Offensive line is going to be the focal point. It has to be. I feel like we've said that many years with Joe Douglas. And being an offensive line guy that he is, you always think that he's going to address it early and often. And then he goes a different direction. And you're like, man, I like what he did, but I just don't quite understand why we didn't focus on O-line. Why are we getting screwed here? We can't do it again. We had this Rolls Royce, this expensive quarterback in Aaron Rodgers back there. And we can't protect him to save our life. He plays four snaps. Whoever comes out behind him is getting killed. I mean, would Aaron Rodgers even want to have played last year if he'd stayed healthy? That would have been a freaking nightmare for him, too, with that changing offensive line. So one way or another, that O-line has to be fixed. The next most important thing to me, number three, backup quarterback. Because we've done this same thing over and over again and played a starting quarterback, and for one reason, be it just failure of performance or an injury, we're now playing a second, third, or fourth quarterback, and those guys usually suck for us because our starters usually suck, and the team just plummets and goes down, and Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas cannot afford to have another bad year. They need to raise the floor of the entire team by signing a good, competent quarterback too. And I think Woody Johnson's all on board with that. He was basically saying, last year the Jets didn't have a backup quarterback. Trevor Siemian, Tim Boyle, Zach Wilson did nothing for him. So they got to go out there and get somebody who can play the position at a high enough level if Aaron Rodgers misses any time, that the team at least can still be fun to watch and fans won't just lose their minds. So backup quarterback is number three. Number fourth most important need, defensive tackle. The Jets are missing a lot of guys in that defensive front. Quinnen Williams can't do it all alone. He's a fantastic player. He's a great guy to play next to. But we like to have four guys that rotate in the interior defensive line. Right now, we've basically only got Quinnen. So that's going to be our number four need, very important for Robert Saleh and Jeff Ulbrich's defense. Number five, I've got wide receiver. We've got a couple guys. We've got Lazard, who could be good with Rodgers. We've got Garrett Wilson, who is a superstar. Xavier Gibson was a nice, flashy, funny, undrafted free agent last year. A nice little gem that we found. But we need more reliable snaps. There was way too much old-ass Randall Cobb or totally unpolished Jason Brownlee. Irvin Charles, Malik Taylor's like trying to get these guys open, but with the quarterback play of the offensive line, it was a combination of it all. We need some weapons. We need some more Garrett Wilson players that are going to be value add. Get the ball in their hands and let's go. I felt like last year it was only Breece Hall, Tyler Conklin, and Garrett Wilson that could really do that for us. Sometimes Xavier Gibson made a play or two, but we need more. Wide receiver is a great way to attack that. My number six need, safety. The Jets have Tony Adams right now. And that's about it. We're going to have to figure out who's going to be playing on the back end with the Jets. Probably a strong safety type of player that's going to be good at tackling coming up in the box. We'll see what the Jets do there, but that is a starting position that needs to be signed. My number seven need is a running back. Running back's not going to be a starter because you got Breece Hall. But I don't think Izzy Abanaconda is ready to be RB2. If Breece Hall goes down or any sort of injury happens, you don't want to be relying on Izzy. You're going to need another guy in there for sure, probably a veteran. They've drafted a lot of running backs that were backup kind of guys over the last few years that haven't really stuck around. I think it'd be good just to get a reliable veteran in there that can take the rock, maybe pick up third and ones, third and goals, that extra 1-2 yards when we need it that Breece Hall's not necessarily great at. to provide just a little bit of a break and a breather to Breece Hall without being a huge negative coming in. So I think running back is going to be important. And then kicker I have at 8, punter at 9. We don't have Greg Zuerlein signed at this point in time. We don't have Thomas Morstead signed at this point in time. So both of those are starting positions, very important. I value kicker slightly higher than a punter because they give us points. Greg Zuerlein has been fantastic. Thomas Morstead also has been fantastic. And even though they're both getting up there in years, I'd love to have them both back. But we'll see what the Jets do. It's a lot of different things we have to go after, but when you look at it, you look through that ranking of like the 9 real positions in need. Offensive tackle, interior offensive line, absolutely a must. Backup quarterback, okay, you're talking about a backup, so let's find a guy that's competent in there. Defensive tackle, I mean, the Jets have been so good at just plugging in so many different players to that defensive line. You know, you're talking Foley Fatakasi, Sheldon Rankin, Solomon Thomas, Quentin Jefferson. So many guys have played next to Quinnen Williams and been successful that I don't really worry about finding a guy that can do it again, especially not somebody that's super expensive. They should be able to find somebody there. Wide receiver is going to be tricky, obviously, because the price tags on them are so high these days and we don't have a ton of draft picks in the early rounds. But if the Jets can find a competent role player, Aaron Rodgers and potentially a better backup quarterback, those are the types of guys that'll make receivers better. I think we can make it work. Then you're just talking about like safety, running back, kicker, and punter. Safety, lots of them on the market right now. Pretty cheap overall. Running backs, same thing. They're cheap. Kicker and punter, get our guys back. They should be doable. It really should be offensive line. Get that backup quarterback, a tackle, and a wide receiver. You got the draft. You got free agency. They just have to hit on them. They've only got that $27 million. And in this day and age, 2024, there are players that are going for $27 million. Now, I believe the Jets can find a way to make a little bit more money. They can do some more void years. They can kick the can down the road on some players. Maybe another cut or two coming, or at least some sort of new contract. I would love to have CJ Mosley, like, a slightly smaller cap number for this year, but spread out over a couple more years. Let's keep this guy around for 2 more years, 3 more years, rather than just having, like, one really expensive year left. Maybe they can do something with John Franklin Myers. There are ways for them to make a little bit more money. But at the end of the day, they don't have enough to go out and buy everything all at once. They're going to have to find some steals, some good bargains. And I want to talk about all that stuff, the decisions they're going to make coming up at those positions in free agency. But before I do, let's take a quick pit stop at the cooler for a little What's on Tap. That is right, folks. This is What's on Tap. And today, I'm drinking one of my OG New England IPAs brewed right here in Bloomfield, Connecticut. This is hashtag no filter by Thomas Hooker Brewing Company. And back when IPAs, juicy, hazy IPAs were becoming all the rage, like, I don't know what it was, 5, 6 years ago, this was one of the original Connecticut staples that was 7% alcohol and juicy and kind of like fruity. And I loved it, and it was one of my favorites. The name is great, hashtag no filter. An unfiltered beer, but obviously the social media pun as well. As time is going on, it's a little sweet for my taste buds. I think they've kind of improved and refined the New England IPA to like a little bit more bitter, hazy. This one is, it's definitely solid. It holds a special place in my heart because of the early adoption we had for it. I mean, we were used to drinking like Heinekens and Rolling Rocks and Twisted Teas and stuff. All 4 or 5% alcohol beers, then all of a sudden you get this 16-ounce can that's 7% alcohol and drinks super easily, and you're like, holy smokes, I can drink 2 beers instead of drinking 8. And at the time, I think it was like, it was just like, holy smokes, the light went off. Like, we got to drink these things instead. It's like closer to drinking a Four Loko or something than drinking a Bud Light. But obviously the beer world has gone crazy and had so many shifts and turns over the past 5 years, I can hardly keep up anymore. I found myself reverting back into more light beers because then it's like, you know, I don't always want to just drink this like 400 calorie giant can of high alcohol beer. I don't know. Life goes in phases, right? And the hashtag no filter was definitely a phase in my life, something that I loved. Still a great beer. That's why I bought it. Is it one of my favorites to this day? You know, not anymore, but it's solid. It's made here in Bloomfield, Connecticut, so you love that. Thomas Hooker's hashtag no filter. That is this week's What's on Tap. Now, before we go over to the specific position groups and their options, we got to take a quick commercial break.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Alrighty, and welcome back to This Is The Jet Life. Unfortunately, we don't have a father time for this week's episode. I was hoping to get one from my dad, but he's sick today. Was sick yesterday as well, so we don't have anything. But I'm about to talk about the positions of need for the Jets, ranked in order, right? And every single player that we're going to be looking at in free agency. You need to keep in mind, this is a culmination of so many hours of talking with my dad, texting with my dad throughout the days. We talk every single day about the Jets, and realistically, almost every single waking hour talking about the Jets in one form or another. So all these players are a combination of his ideas, my ideas, guys that we've vetted together, looked at tape, whatever. So he is very present in this podcast episode. It's just going to be me talking about it. Let's go over the offensive tackle position, the number one position in need, the situation there. We are losing Dwayne Brown, Mekhi Becton, and Billy Turner to free agency. Dwayne Brown is done. Becton, we tried to get him back. He came back healthy this year, finally played some games, which is great to see. But he played at such a lower level than we were expecting that right now he's not super enticing to us. Billy Turner was horrible. All we have under contract for that position group is Elijah Vera Tucker, who is potentially an offensive tackle, potentially a guard. We don't know right now. Joe Douglas has said that Elijah Vera Tucker's position will be permanent. We're going to figure out what it is, but he won't say what it is. We know AVT has played every position across the Jets' offensive line except for center, so he can play anywhere. And perhaps the Jets are just looking for the best deal in free agency, the best guy that falls to them in the draft, and then they're going to just say, AVT plays the other position. But you got to remember that he's been pretty unhealthy for the past 2 years, and we need to see him out there on the field being more reliable for the Jets. I think he's a great player. I'm very glad that we have him. His rookie contract is running out. We don't have much left. But if we can get him somewhere on the offensive line, probably tackle, because it's a more expensive position and harder to find, still remains to be seen. So we potentially have ABT for tackle under contract. Then we've got Max Mitchell, Carter Warren, and a bunch of no-names. I don't think Carter Warren's ready to be a starter right now. He can be a backup guy. Max Mitchell, same sort of situation. So we desperately need a tackle. When you look at my wish list, the number one guy, Tyron Smith, is coming from the Cowboys. He is a very, very good player that we all know pretty well from that fantastic Cowboys offensive line. He was pretty injured for a few years, healthy this year, so he's probably going to get a massive contract, the biggest offensive tackle contract, I think, on the market. The Jets may not be involved in that because they've only got that $27 million right now. We'll have to see if they're able to move a Zach Wilson or do some more negotiations within their own guys to free up some cap space to actually go after a player like that. Because I don't think they're going to want to bust 70% of their cap space on one tackle, although it is the most important position. If you're looking for a cheaper option, Michael Onwenu from the Patriots might be slightly less. He can play guard or right tackle. Jets would see him as a right tackle, I'm sure. Probably going to be pretty expensive as well because the tackle list is just so bad of available guys. You've got Charles Leno. He's like 32 years old, a solid player, but definitely on the back end of his career. Then you got guys like Jermaine Illuminor, Jonah Williams, maybe even our own Mekhi Becton. These guys are going to be probably pretty expensive, and they're not that good of players. They're solid. They can play, but they're not massive value adds. You want to go slightly cheaper? Maybe you can get like a Yosh Nyman, George Fant, Cam Fleming. Again, not needle movers, but at least they're more reliable than playing, you know, a fluctuating Billy Turner and Max Mitchell and Carter Warren and everything that happened to the Jets last year and trying to put these guys in the line. We need somebody that's going to play, somebody that's healthy and can be consistent enough. Even if it's not at the super high level, at least you know what you're going to get. From there, I think the best option for the Jets is to draft the other offensive tackle, put AVT on the other one. We still need to find a depth guy. That way it's not just relying on Max Mitchell or Carter Warren right away because we know what happens to the offensive line. But potentially you can get away without having to spend a ton of money in free agency. But look for the Jets to address that offensive line position as well as the interior offensive line. Because when you look there, it's almost just as bleak. To free agency, we're losing Laken Tomlinson, Connor McGovern, and then Xavier Newman and Jake Hansen, who both played more than we wanted them to last year. Under contract, we've got AVT question mark. I mean, that guy's probably going to be playing tackle for us, but maybe if the Jets find enough tackles through free agency in the draft, he could play guard, where he might be slightly better and slightly less impactful. Aside from possibly AVT, we've got Wes Schweitzer and Joe Tippmann. So if you move AVT to tackle, you've got Joe Tippmann to play guard or center, and then you've got Wes Schweitzer, who was injured for most of this year, to play guard or center, potentially. I mean, Wes Schweitzer was brought in to be a backup swing guy. That means you're talking about signing two starting interior offensive linemen. That's going to be a very important position for the Jets to go after in free agency. The good news is that position group, there's actually a lot of really talented guys that are pretty young, pretty good, and that position group is slightly less expensive than offensive tackles on the market. When you look at the best guy, I think the center, Lloyd Cushenberry, would be fantastic. He's young, he's really good, and he would allow Joe Tippmann to play guard where I think he's slightly better. So I'd love to get Cushenberry there. Another possible center the Jets could get is Tyler Biadasz from the Cowboys. If they want to go with a guard and keep Tippy at center, some really good players. Robert Hunt from the Dolphins, John Simpson, Kevin Dotson, and John Runyon, who played with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Those are pretty solid guys that are all pretty young and would be immediate starters for the Jets in that offensive line. They need at least one guy for that interior offensive line group in this free agency, probably two. Those are the names that I like the most, but there's a ton more, and Joe Douglas is going to try to figure out who's the best bargain. He's probably not going to go trying to drive up a contract really, really high for a guy and be locked in. We don't really have the financial flexibility to do that. And to be frank, when we did have the flexibility to do that, when we had like, you know, $70 million available to go and spend on guys, we spent it a little irresponsibly and made some bad decisions. So maybe it's better that we're really trying to be as conscious with the money as possible. Potentially it'll help for better future contracts, maybe less dead money in the future. So that's the offensive line, the most important thing. My number three biggest need is backup quarterback. And I know they're not going to potentially play that much if Aaron Rodgers finishes the entire season. There's a scenario Rodgers plays all 17 games and the backup quarterback never plays. But to me, the backup quarterback is so important because it raises the floor of the team. If Rodgers leaves and Tim Boyle comes in, the team goes from really exciting, possibly Super Bowl, to being one of the most embarrassing watches in the NFL. If they can have a competent backup quarterback out there, then you know at least if something happens to Rodgers, you at least have a guy that you can put out there, potentially win a game, and the whole team doesn't just fall apart. It helps the locker room, it helps the fan base that's watching the game, and it helps the team win games. We haven't had this for a very long time. It would be fantastic if we could have two decent quarterbacks in the roster. Rodgers is one. Get us another one. Under contract right now, we've got Aaron Rodgers and Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson is probably going to be moved, but we got to see what we could do with that contract that he's got, if we can get any sort of draft capital in return, or if we just have to unload him somewhere else and eat some of that contract. We'll see. Options for that will be sparse. To free agency, we're losing Trevor Siemian and Tim Boyle. That's no loss. We found Trevor Siemian on the scrap heap midway through the season. Tim Boyle should not be on an NFL team. Shouldn't have been on a college team, frankly. So when you look at possible free agent options for backup quarterback, my number one guy that I trust through and through, Jacoby Brissett. He's probably the best backup quarterback on the market. Probably going to demand a decent amount of money. The Jets can also look at some potentially cheaper options. Gardner Minshew is a spicy sort of player sometimes. He can have some total dud games, but he's spicy at times. Josh Dobbs, same sort of thing. Tyrod Taylor, older, probably pretty cheap. Definitely a guy that you can trust. Ryan Tannehill, a guy that I like that's definitely going downhill in his older years, but still has some good football left and can at least, you know, play competent quarterback. A guy that I love, Sammy Darnold. Imagine getting Sam Darnold back. He's probably not the best quarterback of that group. He might even be the worst. He hasn't played much recently, but he's definitely a little bit more better or a little bit more mature and a better player than he was when we left him through that Adam Gase era. Getting him back, I got a soft spot for him. I'd love it. And then Russell Wilson was just released, and this is an interesting one because he played with Hackett. Things went horribly. He probably doesn't want to play with him again. But all the dead money due to Russell Wilson means that he's probably going to play for a team for the veteran minimum of $1.3 million this year, which makes him basically the cheapest possible quarterback you can get. And it's Russell Wilson, a Super Bowl winner. He threw, what, 28 touchdowns last year for the Broncos? It wasn't great, but he was over 65% completion, starting, playing for an NFL team. That's way better than anything we got from Trevor Siemian or Tim Boyle, and he'd cost the same amount of money. So if he wants to come here, put 1 year in underneath Aaron Rodgers, an opportunity potentially to play if Rodgers gets injured, reunite with Nathaniel Hackett, it's something that would be somewhat interesting just because it would be the cheapest possible contract for a quarterback. It would save us so much money, and it would be a guy that at least can play the position. So that's my number three need and some possible guys we can look at there. Number four need of defensive tackle. To free agency, we're losing Solomon Thomas, Quentin Jefferson, and Al Woods. The first two I'd love to have back. Al Woods is like 350 pounds coming off a serious ankle or Achilles injury at age like 33, 34. He probably isn't going to be playing much football moving forward, we might guess. But Solomon Thomas, Quentin Jefferson, both of those guys I'd welcome back with open arms. They both had career-high sacks last year. And it's no surprise because everybody that plays next to Quinnen Williams on the defensive line is basically successful. Think of the bag Foley Fatukasi got, over $10 million a year. Sheldon Rankin's basically the same thing for him. Then you have Quentin Jefferson come in, career-high sacks. Solly Thomas, who was basically a cast-off bust project the Jets brought in because of his time in San Francisco, he gets career-high sacks. You want to play next to Quinnen Williams. That's why I think it's going to be a pretty good market for guys that want to revamp their career a little bit. We currently have Q, Tanzel Smart, and Bruce Hector, who should not be seen as really even role players for this team. They should be more like practice squad guys as they have been. My wish list when I'm looking at it, I talked about getting Solly back, talked about getting Quentin Jefferson back. What about bringing back Foley Fatukasi or Sheldon Rankins? Two guys that have been super successful playing next to Quinnen Williams and getting that big bag. Then they leave, they go elsewhere, they get that big contract, doesn't work out. Come back here where you made that money, where you were great. Foley Fatukasi, a run stuff specialist, great to have. Sheldon Rankins, pretty good against the pass, great to have. Anyone in that group, I'd love to have them all back. That would be nice. They're all people that played well for us, deservedly got big contracts at some point. But playing next to Quinnen Williams is a massive luxury. When you talk about safety, I think it's kind of a similar situation. You know, you got Tony Adams back there as basically the only safety under contract for the Jets. We have JBC, Jerick Bernard Converse, who was drafted last year but really played almost nothing this year. Can't be relied on for anything. It's basically just Tony Adams. We're losing Jordan Whitehead. We're losing Ashton Davis. And now we don't have Chuck Clark, who got injured before the year even began last year. But all three of those guys are gone. Just like the defensive tackle, I think you want to play in the Jets secondary. The safety group isn't elite next to Tony Adams. He's not like a super player, but he's getting better for sure. And part of the reason that he's doing so well is that we have some of the best cornerbacks and a fantastic pass rush that this league has seen in some time. Having Sauce Gardner, Michael Carter II, and DJ Reed at cornerback playing fantastic man or zone coverage, and then having the guys that we have going after the passer, Q in the middle, Jermaine Johnson, John Franklin Myers, Will McDonald's going to be going after the passer. All these players that we have make it so much easier on a safety. You remember when our defensive line was pretty bad and our cornerbacks were pretty bad? We were always getting pissed at the safety because they were getting burned deep, and it was like, man, you can't let this guy get deep. But that stuff doesn't really happen against the Jets, and there's not really even opportunities to throw the ball deep against the Jets because there's no time and there's no separation between our cornerbacks, and they pass everything off so well and they're coached so well. This is a secondary that you'd want to play in. So when I look at the wish list, next to Tony Adams, you probably want a guy that can do a little bit more tackling, come up into the box and play. Ashton Davis might not be that, but he's a good player who's gotten better for the Jets. He's got a nose for the football, makes plays. He plays great special teams. He's getting better and better every year. And he's a homegrown guy that I would just love to see remain with the team. I don't know if I want him to be the only option, but a couple weeks ago, I actually put a poll on Twitter and said, you know, who thinks that Ashton Davis should be the starter alongside Tony Adams for the Jets in 2024? And 56% of people said, yes, it should be Ashton Davis next to Tony Adams, which surprised me. My dad, advocate for Ashton Davis, thinks he's earned the right to be that starter there. But either way, whether you start him or not, I think you have to have a hedge. I think you have to have another safety because there are so many safeties on the market right now. There's like 60-plus safeties that have played available. And the position is so inexpensive that for $3, $4, $5 million, you can get a pretty good player. I'm looking at guys like Cam Crowell from Washington, Jeremy Chinn, who's trending down in the NFL right now because of injuries and stuff and the defense that he's in. But if you can get him back here with the Jets, that might be a guy that Ulbrich and Saleh will love. And if you can get him on a cheap deal to try to revive that career, Jeremy Chinn is a very exciting player. A little bit more expensive would be a guy like Xavier McKinney from the Giants, but a really good player for sure. And then if you want to bring back Chuck Clark if you think he's healthy. You traded for him at one point because you thought he was going to be a great team leader, signal caller, a defensive specialist who also could play good safety. If he's recovered, maybe you bring him back on a cheap deal. And honestly, with the defense that we had last year, the pass defense is so freaking good. Yes, we can move on from Jordan Whitehead and improve from him. But if he's the guy we get on a decent deal, I wouldn't be pissed because that secondary was so freaking good last year. If it's Tony Adams and Jordan Whitehead with that group again, bring the boys back, it'd be fine. Any one of those safeties or a combination of them, I'm happy. And I think that's one of those positions you definitely can address in free agency. Doesn't have to be the draft. You need to get a starter. Free agency is where it has to be done. Number six need, wide receiver. For me, we need another reliable option. We're only losing Randall Cobb, who was supposed to be a sort of reliable option. But when you look at the supporting cast of characters, it's Garrett Wilson, fantastic. Alan Lazard, trending down, under contract for a couple more years. Played with Aaron Rodgers, so if you have Rodgers playing in that Hackett offense, it could potentially look better than we're used to. But it also could be a different quarterback playing if Rodgers goes down, or Lazard can continue dropping the football and playing bad. And if that's the case, you're relying on Xavier Gibson, Jason Brownlee, Malik Taylor, and Irvin Charles, who are the only under contract receivers. The Jets need to do better than that. Whether or not they want to address the position in the draft in round three or four, find a way to move up or something and grab somebody, remains to be seen. But I think when you look at some free agents, Tyler Boyd could be pretty expensive, but is a very good, reliable option. Darnell Mooney, I think, is my favorite potential option. He's totally had a bad opportunity in Chicago playing with some really bad passing quarterbacks, but he's put up some big numbers. He's a great player. He's a baller, doesn't complain much. If we could get Darnell Mooney, I'd be stoked. I'd like Tyler Boyd too. Juwan Jennings probably demands a much bigger contract now after what he did in the Super Bowl and the playoffs for the 49ers, but that's a decent player that could be on free agency. Curtis Samuel has been a weapon in this league. He's not fantastic, but he's pretty good. He's kind of like a little Jameson Crowder type that can just get open, catch the football. We need that. Or maybe Kendrick Bourne from the Patriots, who's a sneaky, talented wide receiver. Any one of those guys, the Jets can get a good deal. Bring somebody in would be great for us to have. My number seven need, running back. The reason I have it number seven is because Izzy isn't quite ready to be the number two running back. In the last year, you know, not talking right now, but in the last year, we've lost Dalvin Cook, Michael Carter, Bam Knight, Ty Johnson. So many established running backs in this league gone. And right now we've got Breece Hall, fantastic. Izzy Abanaconda, who's totally unproven. Xavier Valade. Nick Bawden. I mean, there's not much there. We obviously need to have a little bit better of a stable to give Breece Hall a little bit of a break to pick up those third, fourth, and shorts. And also just in case anything happens, you know, to have that backup plan. So when I look at the running back market, I mean, they're projecting to go for somewhere between like $2 and $4 million for a lot of these pretty decent players. So my wish list, I think some of them are pretty doable. If they could get a guy like Gus Edwards or A.J. Dillon, would be fantastic. Both of those guys just find ways to get into the end zone to pick up first downs, and both will be relatively inexpensive. You can also look at a guy like Devin Singletary or Antonio Gibson, who've been pretty good players in this league and are available. That's another one of those positions. I don't want to waste a draft pick on a running back because I think you can find one for cheap in free agency that'll be exactly what we need. Same thing with safety. I'm looking at like safety, running back, guaranteed free agency. Do it there. You want to look at a tackle, an interior offensive line in the draft? Yeah, I'm all for it. But go after those guys, those running backs, those safeties, because the market is pretty good for them. Number eight, need kicker. I mean, Greg the Leg is the free agent. We don't have anybody under contract. My wish list is Greg the Leg. If it's not him, Kyemi Fairbairn is also fantastic. But Greg the Leg is our guy. Bring him back. I want him bad. Same situation at punter. The number nine need. Free agents Thomas Morstead. Under contract, none. My wish list is Thomas Morstead. If you can't get him, Tommy Townsend is probably my number two favorite option on the market, but there's no reason Thomas Morstead should not be back with the New York Jets in 2024. The number 10 need for the Jets, defensive end. Salah can never have enough defensive ends. This year we're losing Bryce Huff, Carl Lawson, and Brad Lyonnais. Bryce Huff is obviously a pass rush specialist who's getting better and better every single year. An undrafted free agent the Jets brought in and absolutely developed into a freak pass rusher. Carl Lawson did nothing for us last year. Brad Lyonnais never plays. When you look at who we have at defensive end still, it's JFM, Jermaine Johnson, Will McDonald, and Michael Clemens. The first two, JFM and Jermaine Johnson, I trust them all day. Will McDonald, I think, will develop into a good pass rusher. Michael Clemens trended down a little bit last year, but he's still a serviceable player. But they need somebody else in there to go into that rotation. Of course, if they could get Bryce Huff back, that would be best case scenario. I would love to have him. I just think he's going to demand so much money. He's at least got to test the waters of free agency to see what he's worth. And if he doesn't love the numbers he's seeing, maybe he comes back to the Jets in a team-friendly deal. But there's going to be money available for a guy like Bryce Huff. Because he hits the quarterback, he wins against the guys that are blocking him time and time again, and that's hard to do in this league. If they don't get Bryce Huff back, I could look at a guy like Dorrance Armstrong from the Cowboys, or DJ Wanham, Yannick Ngakoue, Romeo Okwara, as defensive ends that can go after the quarterback. I like the ability to stop the run as well. You don't want a guy that is potentially selling out to get the passer. I think Will McDonald kind of fills that role. You want some guys that can do the run very well. At the end of the day, those guys that I named, Dorrance Armstrong, DJ Wanham, Yannick Ngakoue, they're all going to go for probably a decent amount of money because that's a very expensive position. It's hard to buy it. The thing is, I don't want to see Joe Douglas just spend another important draft pick, a high draft pick, on a defensive end. So do you find a guy that used to play for the 49ers with Robert Saleh and he can get him for a good cheap deal? Do you find a veteran who's really old and is playing for a little bit cheaper? Do you find a young guy who's unproven and just have a big cast of characters and rotate a lot of bodies and figure out who the best guy is, cream rises to the top? Or do you pay for like one guy that's going to be a staple with that group? You know Robert Saleh and Ulbrich are going to rotate those defensive ends a ton, and the whole defensive line a ton. It's never going to be just Jermaine Johnson and JFM playing all the snaps. It's going to be a big rotation. Guys are going to be kept fresh. It's part of the recipe for them getting after the quarterback the way they do, setting up the defensive back, running the whole defense. So one way or another, we're going to see some sort of defensive end added to this team. My number 11 need is a tight end. We have two good tight ends. We have Tyler Conklin, who is really, really good. And then we have Jeremy Rucker, who I think could be pretty darn good. Behind that, you got Zach Kuntz, we drafted out of Old Dominion last year. Some tall freak with a weird neck. He's probably not going to amount to too much in the NFL. But we're losing CJ Uzomah. We're losing Kenny Yeboah. So when you look at the wish list, what I'm looking for, honestly, it's not like a player specifically. I either want a tight end weapon, somebody that's going to find a way to pick up yards and big plays because we need big weapons, or a blocking guy. Get me a guy that just comes in there, seals the edge, blocks for Breece Hall, blocks for the quarterback, and is just in there for that role. CJ Uzomah didn't really fit either need, right? He wasn't great at pass catching. He wasn't great at pass blocking or run blocking. He was just kind of like a nice guy that we all loved. We're moving on from him. Let's upgrade it with a weapon. Maybe a guy like Noah Fant. Maybe Robert Tonyan, who Aaron Rodgers is familiar with from his time in Green Bay. But, like, get me something like that at tight end if you're going to do it. Otherwise, it can be punted on for now. My number 12 need is linebacker. Linebacker, we're not losing anybody at that position group. We still have C.J. Mosley and Quincy Williams. Behind them, we still have Jamie and Sherwood and Zaire Barnes. And for special teams, we still have Chaz Surratt. So it's the entire cast from last year is back. So why is it even a need at all on this list ahead of cornerback? Why isn't it the very bottom need? The reason is that C.J. Mosley isn't going to be here forever. And we've seen C.J. Mosley turn so many good linebackers around him into better players. Biggest example being Quincy Williams, who's gotten so freaking good playing next to C.J. Mosley. And I know that C.J.'s coached him up a lot and helped him in his career and his journey. And to get another guy in there that's young and malleable that can work with C.J. Mosley before he's done with the Jets, I think could be huge for us. Because one day we're going to have to replace Mosley. And if we can do it now with a guy that can learn from him, that's the type of torch that you want to pass on. Because C.J. has done such a fantastic job leading this defense, being the heart and soul and mind of this defense. And yes, he's losing a little bit of a step at this point in his career. But to get that knowledge to somebody else other than Quincy Williams, to me, would be fantastic. I think that's why they drafted guys like Jamie and Sherwood, and then again last year, Zaire Barnes. I'm just not sure that either one of them has really panned out the way that we wanted them to. My wish list for that position, you know, it's really a guy that's going to be a project. Guys that we don't know that well, that the coaching staff can see traits that they like and say, that's stuff that can work within our defense, that C.J. Mosley can teach and train, and he's going to be worth basically nothing because you don't need to pay a lot of money for that position. They're not going to play. I guess if I was looking for a name that I think is a fun, spicy name the Jets could go after, it's Azeez Al-Shaair. But I think he's going to be too expensive for the Jets to go after anyway. Probably not going to make a big splash like that at linebacker. Probably going to go after another unknown guy or just keep the group we have right now. And then my last need, number 13, is cornerback. All we need here is one player to replace Bryce Hall. We're losing Justin Hardy, but I consider him a special teamer. We're losing Javelin Guidry, but he never played. Bryce Hall is the guy that really needs to be replaced, and that's, what, a number 4 or 5 cornerback that hardly plays spot duty here and there. I mean, last year we played Tay Hayes. You know, we were, like, down to no cornerbacks, and we found a way to make it work for a game or two. That's the type of guy we're looking for. We don't want to spend a lot of money on this position, and the cornerback market is very, very shallow. There's not a lot of guys to go after, so the prices are going to be increased. It's good for us because we don't need one. We just need to get another body in there to be cornerback 5. Maybe it's Bryce Hall coming back. I wouldn't mind seeing them bring Justin Hardy back only for special teams, but I like him. And then maybe like a guy that could be really cheap that's familiar with Robert Saleh's defense and can play nickel and move around and stuff is Amik Robertson. He's really small, but he's played with Saleh in the past. He's a pretty good player. And if we can get him for cheap, you know, a couple million dollars to come here and play in this awesome secondary, I think it'd be exciting to get Amik Robertson. But I don't have many other names for that list because, frankly, it's not worth the money. So that's every position group on the entire team. Long snappers all set with Perdum. We are in, or Thomas Hennessy. Jesus, I just said Tanner Perdum. Another spig of beer here. Thomas Hennessy setting that up, but that's every position group. I don't know exactly which one the Jets are going to go after, but free agency comes first. We got that $27 million. We'll try to get it a little bit higher before March 11th when the legal tampering period begins. Obviously, free agency's March 13th, but on the 11th when the tampering period begins, that's when so many of the deals are going to be made. I'm actually taking work off, both me and my dad, taking the day off on the 11th Monday, going to a bar that we do every year, our annual tradition, to watch the legal tampering period unfold. You know, we've spent 2 months, basically, since the end of the regular season, talking about all these players, evaluating so many guys, who could we get, what names, who makes sense for the Jets, who has ties to us or players on our team in the past, what kind of contracts would they get. We've gone through so many hypotheticals of what the team could look like and how we could make it work. We're talking, like, thousands of scenarios for this roster, and I can't wait just to see which one the Jets go with. It's super important for Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh to get it right this year because they don't have a lot of time left. I am a massive Robert Saleh fan. I'm a very big Joe Douglas fan. But they do have to prove something to us because they've been here for long enough. They've built this roster. This is their team at this point in time, and they're going to leave this free agency and this draft, and it's going to be almost no players from the Mike Maccagnan days. It's going to be almost none of the Adam Gase guys. It's going to be their team, and it needs to be successful. And it can't be, well, Aaron Rodgers got hurt, so the season was over. You got to have a backup plan. You got to one way or another find a way to make this season work, and free agency is the first opportunity for the Jets to get those stars to align. So that's it. That's what I got for this podcast episode. I can't wait to see how it unfolds. I'll be all over Twitter, retweeting stuff, liking stuff, talking about the signings the Jets are doing as they come in. It's one of my favorite times of the offseason, just because you can get some Le'Veon Bell signing to the Jets at like 2 in the morning, which I stayed up for just in case it happened. You could get something like mid-workday, right in the morning when you're brushing your teeth. You never know when the news is going to drop that could change everything for your team, and it's a good time of year. So enjoy it. They say it's the Jets Super Bowl, or the Jets' best time of the season is the offseason. I can't wait to prove to people that the regular season will be the best time of our season, but let's start with the offseason. Let's crush it there, too. Thank you for joining me on this podcast. Remember to rate, review, subscribe to this podcast anywhere they're found. Follow me on Twitter at Jets_Dan. That's all I got. I'm Dan Burnham, and this is The Jet Life.